Okay, we are part two. We're in Pei Dalet Halacha Vav, Drum Roll. We're in part two about the size of how small insects have to be to be usher. Today we're actually going to find out why we're doing this halacha. Okay, last time, just to summarize, just to catch us up, last time we said there's two shitas about how big a bug has to be in order to be usher. Let me say that. Within bugs that are so small that you could see them, but you can't identify them. You could see them, but you can't tell what they are. A regular, average person can't tell what they are. There were two shitas. And one was the more machmirim help that's usher. The way we understood it is, even those people who are machmir about that, the way I understood it, was that the person really, if he would eat that, would be considered an oinus. Because if you'd eat it, how on earth am I supposed to know that it's there? To me, it just looks like every other piece of dirt. We'll say it in a different way. We'll say it's right, little dots like that are not actually bugs. So I do that. And then I'm allowed to just eat it. I'm an oinus. But it would be the right thing. Called the mitz chasidus. It would be the right thing to do. If there's a way to find out which ones are the really ones, the bugs, the Rambam really doesn't want me to eat them. I'm an oinus. But if I have a way to avoid the oinus, then that would be what I'm supposed to be doing. And the mekilim hold that it's completely mutter. Those bugs are not usher at all.
Why isn't it
like Efshal Rubikal? That's what we talked about last time. Efshal Rubikal means within range of what I'm supposed to be doing. Within the range of what regular people are
doing. If I have access to magnifying glass,
Right. That's what we talked about. Maybe you are or maybe you aren't. Maybe that's because it means chiddush or not. And what Yossi wants to hear is, so it's not going to be till next time. So you can go over if you want. The part that he wants to hear. Today we're going to talk about he wants to understand, which is, how could that work, Lamaisa? And I'm not sure I'm going to have a good answer, but that's going to be next time. Today we're going to talk about some of the direct rayas, if you can understand what I mean. Rayas that come right from Hilchos Tehillim that people try to bring to this question. Okay? And next time, a group of indirect rayas, okay, that are not directly from Hilchos Tehillim.
Rayas that work.
It's mutter usher. Which side of this question is right at that? Okay, so before we do that, to help put things into place, to help organize things, at least in my mind, I broke up insects into five grades. Okay, it's just for my mind that works better. Okay, I'm going to tell you my five grades, and I'm going to use those terms while we talk about it just to help classify things. Okay, the first is called grade A, okay, which is things that are recognizable to everybody.
A joke.
Okay. It doesn't even have to be that big. Last night he checked romaine. Last week I checked romaine, and there was a fly flying around in the thing. It was moving around. I mean, it was like obvious. To anybody could tell that thing was a bug. Okay, or aphids that are the adult aphids. Okay, the bigger ones. Anybody who looks at them knows that thing is a bug. Okay, or even tiny ones, but they're moving around. Things that move around. It's obvious to everybody that this thing is a living thing.
That's so alive.
That it's alive. That dirt doesn't. Dead dirt doesn't move.
Yes,
so those things, that's group A, everybody holds that those things are. So that's not a question. Grade B, okay. You're able to recognize it, but if you would look at it, you would not know that it's an insect. But since you've seen it alive, now when you see it dead, you're able to you know that thing is an insect. Okay? And the example we have is, we mentioned this way back when, the copepods in New York water. Okay? If you look at that thing, if we took it to Chicago and showed it to somebody, they would say it's a piece of dandruff. The thing has nothing recognizable about it. When you look at it, that tells you that it's an insect. If you've seen them alive, when they're alive, their movement is very interesting. They don't move. They like jump back and forth. They're like very all over the place. And once you've seen it alive, then you say, now I see that shape in the water, that's an insect. Okay? There's nothing about it that tells you this thing is alive. When you look at the thing, it looks like a piece of dandruff. Dandruff doesn't look like it's alive. But once you've seen it alive, now you're able to say, I've seen it alive. Now when I see it dead, I recognize it also. Okay, that's the second grade. We'll talk about that in a second. I'm going to just give you the levels now. Okay, third, we're going in from bigger to smaller. Right.
Now, you worked on these levels, or you found it in other places?
This is my organization, just to help me understand it. Okay,
sure. No.
Third is something that's recognizable. It's recognizable only, it just went on, that's why it's not on yet. It's recognizable after you train yourself using magnification. That is to say, you didn't get to it by looking at the copepods. We said as you looked at it by just looking at it. Anybody looking at it by themselves could tell that this thing is alive. And then you got to recognize the shape. This, no matter how much you looked at it, you wouldn't have recognized it. But you, by using magnification, I wonder if that thing is a bug or not. And you looked at it, and you looked at it, you kept doing that until you eventually taught yourself. And what I put into this group, in my understanding, is they call thrips larvae. Those are the tiny bugs that are in strawberries. Okay, those are the tiny ones that people who use loops to teach themselves how to see things, recognize them, in a second they know that's a bug, and then all the rest of us, or everybody else in the room, looks at it and says, nothing, another piece of dirt. All the rest of the people won't see it, but those people who have trained their eyes to see it can see it. Or it's the really tiny aphids, or the bugs that were in the raisins, they're called Drosophila, okay, that regular people could not see it. Only people who had trained themselves were able to recognize them. They recognized them with their own eyes, but they had trained their eyes. That's grade C. Grade D is things that are even lower. You could see the spot, but there's nothing. There's no way to recognize it unless you use magnification. Okay, and in other words, everyone can see a spot. Nobody can tell what the thing is. Not anybody can tell what the thing is. And my example of that, hold on a second, is a citrus scale. Okay, I showed you, remember, on the oranges.
The wax.
Underneath, there's a wax coating, and there's a spot underneath it. And nobody can see that thing is an insect. Nobody who looks at it can see it. Everyone can see that it's there. You could tell that the thing is there, but nobody's life for them can see it. And the last, I'll take your question in a second, the last is, grade E, is things that are microscopic. Okay, when I say microscopic, I mean is that an individual bug, one single bug that you wouldn't see. So, for example, when you make vinegar, there's a bacteria that lives in there that makes it, called Acetobacter. Okay? Acetobacter, if you looked at vinegar as you make it, you would see this frothy, bubbly stuff in there. You see stuff in there that tells you that's the Acetobacter. But if you had one Acetobacter, that's 8 zillion of them altogether. If you saw one of them, you would not see anything. It's too small for anybody to see. And those, everyone holds it somewhat. Okay? That's the lowest level. Those are, the individual one is microscopic. But a clump of them you might see, but the individual ones are microscopic, and those are for somewhat. Okay. You want to say something before
you? Yeah, you're going like to second base. I don't know. And he says, don't we first have to decide if you're obligated to train yourself with a microscope or a loop in order to be able to identify a bug?
He didn't say anything about the answer. First, I gave grades of things, and that question, whether I have to train myself is a function of. It's a function of whether it's mutter or usher. If it's mutter, what are you wasting your time for? If it's usher, then yeah, you should go find out. I mean, if it's usher, then you have to find out how to get rid of it. Okay, now, when we say that the grade E, the microscopic ones are mutter, okay, I have to clarify that the place can talk about bugs in vinegar. Okay, they're not, we mentioned this way back in Halacha Gimel. The bugs that they're talking about in vinegar are not these bugs. I'm not talking about Acetobacter. When I said to you the Acetobacter, you can't see, they're talking about what's called the vinegar eels. Okay, vinegar eels are like little worms that are in vinegar, and those are very visible. I've tried to order them. I want to bring them in here. It's just for the fun of it.
Okay. Order them?
Yeah, you can order them. People use them for fishing.
They
use them. Yeah, people use them for egg bait. They use them.
That small? They're that big?
It wasn't clear to me how big they really are. That's why I wanted to order them.
You can put the little thing on.
I wanted to see them. I wanted to see them for
real. When you walk to Wisconsin next week?
I wanted to see them. I wanted to see vinegar eels. I've been trying. I haven't been successful yet. But anyhow, they're these tiny, they're very thin, they're translucent. So, and that's exactly how the place can describe it, but that's not Acetobacter. When we say Acetobacter is microscopic, that's not talking about, what the place can talk about, these thin little things, they're talking about vinegar.
They're talking about Acetobacter too.
When I say basically everyone agrees that microscopic is mutter, when you see people talking about bugs in vinegar, most of those people are not talking about Acetobacter. They're talking about vinegar eels, which is more
to know that when you do that others.
Okay. And in two times ago, when we first started this halacha, we talked about citrus scale crawlers. Not the citrus scale itself, but the babies that they have that crawl to someplace else, the little babies. And we talked about whether those are grade D, we didn't use these terms then, grade D or grade E. Are they small enough that people can see them, or they're microscopic?
Yeah. Okay?
The two of us disagreed about that. Okay, fine. Now, it would seem that everybody should agree that what I call grade B, the copepod insects, should be considered big enough, it should be usher. Why? When they're alive, everyone could recognize them, because they're very visible and noticeable. And that teaches you then that when you see them dead, you recognize them also. It's like saying, if I had a cat, okay, that died. I would know what a cat looks like, even though I didn't see it moving around. His heart is not beating, but I would know it's a cat because I've seen so many cats before him that I would recognize this. So this is a type where when I saw it alive with no special anything, no superhuman way of looking at it, just looking at the insect says to me, I know that I now recognize that this in this shape is the shape of a living thing.
Okay. So you're telling me once I see these things alive, and then have put one on a piece of paper with a piece of dandruff next to it. I'll not be able to tell the difference. Even
right.
Don't tell me it's in water and I see 500 and say, oh, that must be that thing. I want to know on a piece of paper, I see a piece of dandruff and that, I can tell the difference between the two.
Yeah, that was a claim. That was a claim that people made. That, yes, you could tell the difference between it. Once you've seen it alive, you've seen it alive, now you'll know what it
looks like. I can't agree with that.
Okay, so we could agree or disagree. I have to disagree. I'm mentioning it because Poiskim, who spoke about the copepods in New York, and even including ones who are makel about the shiloh we're talking about, said, usually we'd be makel about this kind of a shiloh, but in this case it's different because once you've seen them alive, then you say, oh, now I can recognize that. The other side is, I have to mention it, not in the Gitar Shiloh, but the other side is, Rabelski says, guys, stop a second. You're telling me that these things are recognizable and everyone can see them, they're considered visible. He says, there are millions and millions of people drinking water in New York for years, and they never noticed it. So, it's hard, just stop and think for a second, how can you say that you're classifying something as visible and recognizable? What are you talking about? There's how many millions of people living here who have been living here for 100 years using this water, and they never saw anything.
It was camouflage in the water.
If you pick up a cup of water, you won't see anything.
Camouflage.
What do you mean they never looked? People have eyeballs in their heads and they drink water. What do you mean they
never looked? You have to look intensively. Which guy do you see that's going
to
look at it?
So next time you go to New York, you could look intensely.
Plenty of you did in New York.
People have... Okay, so that was his claim.
I hear your point.
According to him, copepods are not an example. In the theory, he agrees that if you would see it alive, it would be awesome. Even later on, because if you would learn that shape, he just can't believe it. He's maybe like Justin saying, it can't be that you'd be able to recognize it. Where are all those people? You've got lots of people out there who are looking at the one. Okay. Anyhow, so back to to bring us back to where we were. We're talking about the grade C and grade D bugs. Okay, those are the ones that you either have to train yourself through a loop to see it, or you couldn't train yourself no matter what, but you could see just the spot. You won't know what it is unless you use magnification. Okay, so we're going to talk about three groups of rayas. Okay, the first is maybe we could bring a raya from the way the poets can talk about tiny bugs. The poets can talk about tiny bugs. Baruch Hashulchan says a bug is also even if it's dak ben hadak. Okay, the Maram Chaviv says a bug is also even if it's thinner than a strand of hair. Okay, there are descriptions like this the poets can give of tiny bugs. So does that maybe tell us that what they had in mind? They were trying to answer these really, really tiny things. Okay, so the all of those things are, it's very hard to bring a riot from that because we don't really know what they were talking about. We not only do we not know what they're looking at, but they might have even talking about it when it was moving. Like, for example, the Maram Chaviv that people like to quote, who says that even if it's thinner than a piece of hair, he says, listen to the whole line of what he says. He says, V'hem yerser dake michot ha-sayra, she'en behem mamish, zulas ha-rechisha ha-nikeres behem lor ha-shemesh. Except that they move around when they're in the sunlight, and then you can tell they're alive. So it's hard to make a deal from when someone said it's dak menatak. Did he mean one that was so tiny and then you couldn't see it? Or did he mean it? But you have a way of recognizing it. It had some appendages and some of the things there. It's hard to bring rice in this. And we saw, this is another thing people bring rice in halacha. Hey, we talked about milbin. The term milbin referred to, I forgot how many tens of thousands of insects are in the class in the group called or the order or whatever it's called mites. Okay, so you can't say milbin are tiny. Well, there's lots of milbin. There's thousands of things that are called milbin, so it's hard to bring raya from that. Now, in this group of rayas, Rafal brings a raya from like this. Rashi says in Erevin that the term sheretz, that the name sheretz, is because sheretz. Okay, there's no nikudas in the Rashi. Rashi says, does Rashi say in the Chumash also? I don't know if Rashi says in the Chumash.
Yes.
Okay, so Rashi says to Ervin that it's and then Rashi says like this. He says, Dover shu nod ba'aretz, the einoi nira el aide shirutsoi v'richushoi mipnei koitnoi. It's so tiny that you only could see it, you only notice it because it's moving around. Okay? So, given the impression that things that are so tiny that you wouldn't recognize unless they moved around, it wouldn't be us. Again, Rashi's talking in that case. Right. Rashi doesn't say that he's talking about when they're moving or when they're not moving. You know, he tells you that's the description of this thing, is this thing you all tell when it's moving. On top of that is, what's the Gemara talking about? The Gemara's talking about an amalo, an ant. Okay? An ant is very appropriate. If I stood up and walked down the street, I might not notice an ant there unless it's moving around. An my hand, if I stood 6 inches away from it, of course I would recognize it. But if I stood, you know, at a distance, I might not recognize it. So, again, it's hard to say when a this description means, does he mean thrips larvae, or does he mean ants? Which one does he mean about? You know, which thing is he talking about to try to...
What was Rashi going on over there?
The one they're talking about in the Mala. Rashi in Chumash says that a word sherets goes on mice and flies, and Rashi even says it goes on fish, things that creep on the ground. They're also called shrotzim. Anything that creeps on it, so it's... I don't know if we're going to be able to bring... I don't hear any...
Rashi says that you identified it in Chumash.
Well, you identify meaning, if there's an ant on the floor, you would step right on it without noticing. If it was walking, then you might notice it, but that doesn't yet mean that he's talking about the tiny one. Maybe yes and maybe not. We don't know. Okay. Now to our halacha. Why on earth are we learning this over here? Because the Ramah that we're on is one of the riots that people like to bring in. And like this. The Ramah says, pa'amim nimtzim b'pri, sometimes you've seen a fruit, kemin nekudah shchira, it looks like a black spot. V'hu makom shemasla hatulas lehisrakim, and it's where the worm is starting to grow. I don't know how to...
Is it to bore?
Okay, whatever you want. V'tzarech litla misham, pa'amik, you have to take it out, but you have to like scoop out the food and take it out. The also command fas atzma that bug is also okay, like any other bug. That bug is also so.
What is kamoat las atzma? There's the word.
Okay, that if you I'm not going to answer the question.
You don't have to.
I'm not going. Okay, well don't worry about it. Okay.
I'm not.
So what does it sound like?
In the notes.
What does everybody say? What does that mean? So here's the Ramah talking about. Sounds like he's talking about what we call the grade D insect. It's in the Kudash Chaira. It's just a black spot. No way of knowing what the thing is. It's in the Kudash. It's just a black spot. Mom's like, what this spot right over here on the table over here? And it's, the Ramah says, it's also, the Ramah says that it's a bug. Okay? So that's why we're talking about it in this halacha, because people look at this Ramah and they say, look, the Ramah's talking about your case, your grade D, which is, if that was also short, great. See, it's also so.
But here he's giving you a simon with Dover. So if you see a black spot there, and you see it boring a hole, you know that there's a bug in there.
Okay.
That's stamazite.
Okay. So the reason to question whether this arrived from, the reason why it's really hard to believe this arrived from the Ramah is because it is. The Ramah didn't make this up. This Ramah comes from Chuvah Rashi.
Okay.
This is a Chuvah Rashi. What? Yes, correct. It's a Chuvah Rashba. Okay, if you look at the Chuvah Rashba, you'll see what the Rashba says describes this bug as v'nikar roishe shel rachash. Okay, he says you could see the head of this insect. Okay, in other words, this bug, I don't know what bug he's talking about, but the bug is big enough that you could see his head. So we're not talking about a bug that you can't recognize. That's for starters. The Rashi says he's talking about a bug that you can't recognize. You can see his head. Meaning, there's something about it that tells you that this thing is a bug. Second is, the Rashi says, let me read some more words in Rashi. The Kama Pa'amim Nisinu, we did lots of tests, and we, the we scoop out the bug. We put it on our fingernails, okay, and it crawls away. It crawls away. So what he means to say is that they didn't use some superhuman way. It wasn't through Ruach HaKodesh or through magnification that they knew that it was a bug. They knew that it was a bug because regular human facilities told them, faculties told them that this thing was a bug. They put it on their nails and it crawled away. So it became like what I called you before a great bee bug. They had seen it alive. They saw, let's say the fruit was an apple. Okay? They had seen that in apples they had a certain kind of black spot. A couple of times they took it out and they saw that black spot is really a bug. It's something that they could see as a bug. So they learned that the black spots on this part of an apple is really a bug because they've seen it with regular, normal ways. They scooped it out and it crawled away.
But an orange might be
different.
They're
scooping out like a hole.
What?
They're like scooping out the hole that has like a bug in it.
But they recognized it through things that were not, they didn't use anything special to, once someone had tried it and seen it crawl away, they started to learn that spots that look like that, like what I call grade B, like what I was saying about the copepods, once you've seen it once, you've learned through regular ways, you've now learned that that's a bug that was awesome. Okay.
But well, that could be a specific fruit.
It is. They learned something
instead
about
by an orange, maybe it's different.
And then, also...
What does pollen mean?
Pollen? Are pollen. Beans. Beans.
Legumes.
Okay. And now, the last part is that really, if you look at the Rashba, you'll find out that the Rashba is not talking about the sizes of bugs. That's not at all what the Shaila is about. And that's not what the Ramah is talking about. He's not talking about the size of bugs. He's talking about something totally different. The Shaila of the Rashba is it possible, the din is that for land bugs to be arsha, they have to crawl. We talked about this before. We talked about this in the very beginning of this halacha, in the first part of this halacha, the first year of this halacha. The din is it has to crawl, and there's a machlokes. Does it have to actually crawl, or does it have to be able to crawl? Okay, we talked about this. That the machaber in that din holds, it has to actually crawl. If it never actually crawled, it was just, it had legs, but it never actually crawled, the machaber holds that it's mutter. And the Rashba is arguing and saying that even if it never crawled, since it could crawl, it's already usher. So they scooped it out, and they saw that it was large enough that it could crawl. They saw that it was the kind of a bug that could crawl. It never had crawled. It was born in a tight spot that it never crawled. And even so, the Rashba is saying that even though it never crawled, since it can crawl, therefore it is usher. Okay, that.
But he says it crawled. That's how they knew.
No,
it
was. Right. They now knew that it was a bug that was able to crawl. He wasn't trying to say that's how they identified it as an insect. That told them it was a bug that was of the size of the age that was able to crawl. That was able to crawl. The Rashba holds when a bug is at the size that it's able to crawl, it's also even if it never did physically crawl, it's stuck in a tight spot. He said it's a bean or whatever it's in a tight spot. That's already awesome. Okay, so the Ramah who's saying it over here is not talking about sizes of bugs. There's nothing in the din that we're talking about, but he's arguing on the machaber, or he's bringing a day that argues on the machaber. The machaber said the bug is usher only if it actually crawled, and the Ramah is saying that no, even if it's able to crawl. And if you remember back in the first, when we started this halacha, the Taz and Shach have a machlokes whether the Ramah means it to say l'chatchila or even b'dieved. What does he mean to say? Does he mean to aser it l'chatchila b'dieved? That was, we talked about a little bit at the beginning of this thing. But the din that he's talking about has nothing to do with size. It could be the thing was as big as a beetle. Okay, it doesn't mean that he's not describing size. And again, you look at the Rashba, they didn't have questions that the thing was a bug. The thing was, they noticed his head. That wasn't the question. It's a completely different child. The child has nothing to do with its size, but whether a bug, what asers a bug, as you know, bugs only become aser when they do certain tricks. Okay, so they have to move. And the question is that, is it sheretz, has sheretz tolerance means that it actually was sheretz tolerance, or that it was capable of being sheretz tolerance. Okay, so that's what the Rashba was saying, and Harvard. Once you've seen that, and you see the Ramah now in context with the Machaber, you realize that it's not, that there's no right. They're not restored. Okay, the last thing is, we call it a riot, is, we've mentioned this, that there's a discussion in Shmuel Shabbos Kechasei, on the bottom, it's in the footnote, we talked about this, about citrus scale. Okay, and it brings in the bottom, the Shlom Zalman Hill, it's talking about there about Shabbos, okay, so as you can imagine, Hilcha Shabbos. On the bottom it says, what about eating the citrus scale b'chol? So it says, Rav Shlom Zalman first held that it was mutter, but then, he heard from the boy Beis of the Chazanish that he ushered it. And you know, I'll read you the words in a second, but just before I tell you what they actually... That the Chazanish ushered for a certain thing. Okay? I just want to, just for curiosity, I don't know if this means anything to anybody, which is the Stipler had a son-in-law whose name was Shaul Berzon. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Berzon. And he died. And when he died, they wrote a sefer called Zichron Shaul, as a Zichron for this person. Many, I think, a number of halakim, and in the introduction, the Stipler himself wrote a hakdama or a mavo, I don't know, an introduction to that sefer. And in the introduction, he writes about how his son-in-law could not understand why people were not makbid about citrus scale, and that he used to talk. And this son-in-law was a Talmud of Chazanish. So it's within reason. We're just now putting a few pieces together that the boy Beis Shal Chazanish was this Reb Shaul Berzon. The Stipler's son-in-law, who would seem to be very involved and was trying to encourage people to be knocked on this thing, which we said is more of an issue in Eretz Yisrael than here. Anyhow, okay, back to what he said. So I'm going to read you the thing because we'll talk about the detail. He says, "Shenayt b'loy mi'boy beisus al chazanish satzal shechoshes b'zel isat toloy the gamnoy toloy ki lifnei shehaknimos miskasis b'klipas hamogen before the wax coating forms on top of them gam ba'ayin regilu yicholim b'haragish ktsas b'rechishasim." Even a regular person without magnification could see as they crawl around. That's the citrus scale crawlers, the baby ones. Okay, that he said he heard that you're able to see them moving, and that's what he heard. Okay. So
they're on the peel.
They're on the peel, on the outside of the peel.
Where is the peel anyway?
So what it is that when a person opens up their orange, if they're not careful, some of that could fall into their juice, fall into the food that they or get on their hands, and then
chocolate covered orange peels.
But I don't. That's a
problem. Yeah, 100%
I know. Yeah. You like chocolate.
When you peel the orange and then it gets stuck on your, the juice gets onto your hands. That's the possibility that it could get on. That's the or you juice.
That's why they wear gloves in B'nai B'rak when they peel an orange.
Okay. So this
is their orange peel.
So, okay, so first of all, it's not clear. Nice. It's not clear what the Rosh Hashanah is saying in the end. In the beginning, he said it was mutter. Okay. In the end, it wasn't clear exactly what happened, and then you heard from the boy base of the Chazal was asked. The implication is sort of that he therefore accepted that. It's not very clear what he held. But the thing is like this: I don't think there's a right to either side of the Shaila from this little footnote over here, and the reason is because in the beginning when it said Rosh Hashanah was Mako, he says originally Rosh Hashanah said you should be Mako. He says it's because you were never. This is the word. I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry. But you were never able to tell when it moved. Okay, that's the way it comes out in the beginning, when he saw it was mutter. So that means something that you were never, ever able to tell that it moved, he held was mutter. Okay, well, that's not really our shayla. Our shayla is things that were once able to be told. The some way, if you would have seen it moving, you might have answered it. But we thought that if you were never ever able to tell that it was moving, that no one would have. So the fact that Ramzan was made till the beginning doesn't really prove so much. And then the opposite side is, the opposite. In the end it says the Chazanish was Machmir, and he found out that you could see it moving when it's an infant, when the ants, what do you call it? The tiny stage, the crawler stage. So did the Chazanish say it's usher, and a second reason is because you could see it crawling, or did he say it's usher because you were able to see it crawling? It's not clear what it is. Okay, was he Machmir because, in general, he was Machmir, if you could see the spot, it's usher automatically, or was he Machmir because he was able to see it moving, which is Rabbi Gissinger read it that way. Rabbi Gissinger, as you know, is a Mekel. Is the Mekel of Bashal. What was he? Was he? Is he saying it's mutter because he was able to see it moving? It's a vagan loy de loy. Okay, the loy. It's not clear. It's the loy of the Chazanish.
Loy
of the Chazan. No. It's loy of the fault. But it's loy to the Chazanish. Vagan loy de loy. He also was told. He became aware of who's he be. Was the Chazanish? So that's part of his being Machmir. It wasn't so clear. So
what's the difference though?
What do you say?
What's the difference in the game how they make him anyways?
How is he Mekel? What do you mean?
Either way, whatever it is.
How's he Mekel on citrus scale? I don't see he's Mekel on citrus scale. I don't know what he knows about citrus. I'm talking about what he talks about, the general, about bugs that are so small that you just see the spot, but you don't see it crawling. With citrus scale, I don't know. I don't know what he knows about. Okay, now, I have to just make one last point about this thing. Within this riot from the citrus scale, which is relevant really to the whole question, which is like this. The citrus scale is a very unusual case that if you buy an orange, you see the spot. Everyone looks and sees the spot, and some people hold the spot as mutter, and some people hold the spot as usher. So what you're talking about here is a derisa. If the thing is mutter, if that thing is usher, then you're eating a bug. Then the thing is a bug and you're eating this bug. And if it's not also, then it's, if it's mutter, then it's mutter. You can do what it wants. It's a shayla of a deraisa. So those who would be machmer on citrus scale are talking about a shayla of a deraisa. Usually, for most of us, the shayla is not a deraisa. For most of us, the shayla is a drabana. Because we're not looking at the thing that's the spot and saying, should I eat it or shouldn't I eat it? That's not most of us are looking at. Most of the shayla is, if I have a strawberry, should I wash it this way because I'm worried about those bugs? Or should I not wash it this way because I'm not worried about those bugs? Which method should I use? For a drabanan, a chiyah bedikah, in almost every case, the chiyah bedikah is a drabanan. Usually it's just a mi'an amatzi. Mi'an amatzi means mid-drabanan, you're going to check it. So the shayla, in theory, is a deraisa. And by citrus scale, it's really a deraisa. The bug is right in front of your nose. It's right there on there. Should you eat it or should you not eat it? But in most people who are thinking about the shayla are not thinking about a deraisa. Most people are thinking about it only on the drabanan. I have a vegetable. Should I eat raisins or should I not eat raisins? Should I be worried about the insects that are in there or should I not be worried about it? The insects meaning that are milamatsu. It's only occasionally that it comes there, and that it's an amount that the rabbanan mechuyev to be makbanan. So the shayla there is really less serious. Even if you want to say I'm not going to eat the citrus scale, because there's a shayla with the rice, and you say, hey, there's a lot of people who we saw who are makbanan on this. Well, in most people who are facing the shayla are not talking about the rice. Most people are thinking about the rabbanans. Am I mechuyev to do this bedika, or am I mechuyev to do any bedika on a certain fruit or vegetable because of the possibility of these bugs that I can't see? Just from the perspective of it. Okay. Anyhow, Emir Tashem, either we'll do it or we'll just skip it. There's a whole, or another, last concluding part of this topic, which is indirect rights. Okay, either we'll do it, or we'll just skip it and go on to the next halachas. We'll take a vote afterwards. But anyhow, so for this, for the direct rights, this is where, to me, I didn't hear anything very, as you can see, conclusive from any of these rights. Anyone who's, again, we heard last time lots of names of Poskim who hold Mutar Asur, but from these riots, I didn't see anything convincing that says to me, I see I have a strong riot. Maybe next time we'll have a little bit of a better riot in one of the directions.